interview Everett Harris at his home in Long Beach. It's February 18th, 1990. Okay. Well, Everett, why don't we start out with a little bit about your where you were born and your folks.
I was born in Oklahoma, and I came out to California. Folks came out first, and then I came out in 1922, I guess, 21. And I went, I worked around for about a year, and then I went to work for this year.
Mm-hmm. How old were you in 1922?
I was born in 1902, so I was 20 years old.
You said your father came out here. Did he come out here for a particular reason?
Yeah, he came out here to get work.
To get work? Yeah. What kind of work had he done in Oklahoma?
Well, he'd run a market and grocery store. And he came out and he went to work for Shell.
Mm. What made him, what happened to him? Was there a bad time in Oklahoma?
Yeah, it's kind of come out and is a small town and mines and coke ovens are there. And the coke ovens shut down and there wasn't much work there.
So nobody could buy anything from the store because there's nobody there. And so you grew up in a small town. Was it like a what did you do in a small town? What was it like?
Well, I after I started to work for myself, I got married. Young.
When you're in Oklahoma,
yeah.
Oh, I see.
And I run a grader for the county, grading roads and new roads and so on and so forth.
It's back in 1920. There probably were a lot of roads being built.
Yeah, a lot of roads.
Yeah. What made you decide to follow your folks out here?
Well, he had pretty good luck and got a pretty good job with Shell. So I didn't want to stay by myself back then.
Mm-hmm. He was working in the refinery.
Worked for Shell.
So he must have come out right about the time of the Signal Hill boom.
He came out about 3 years ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. He probably wrote glowing letters home about all the opportunity, huh? When you first came out here, where did you live?
I lived down on the west side, down around on the west side of the flood control.
The west side of what?
On the west side of the flood control.
Oh, the flood control.
Down there in the small cottages.
Mm-hmm. I know at the time at the Signal Hill boom, it attracted so many people came out here that there was quite a housing shortage, and people had some innovative ways of constructing housing. Can you tell us what Long Beach was like then and where the workers were living?
My dad lived in the tent houses down there for a while when he first came out. He came out by himself. Then mother and my youngest brother came out later.
Who is that? Bill?
Bill.
Yeah.
You know Bill?
I met Bill, yeah. And that was by the flood control?
Past the flood control then. There was cottages all along the beach down there then.
What street's that now? Where is that near now? I'm not that
familiar. Oil's in there. They discovered oil and they moved all the houses out.
Mm-hmm.
It's right along the shore.
Oh, like
just across the flood control.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Back then, I worked for Edison for a while.
Was that your first job when you got out here?
Yeah, first got here.
What did you do with the
brickwork? Helped bricklayers.
Because of your experience in with roads?
I had worked with a contractor back in Oklahoma when I was a kid. But I never would. They tried to teach me how to They did, but I never would learn it.
Oh, yeah. But you had to learn it out here, didn't
yeah.
you? So how long did you work for PG&E, and why did you get into the oil?
I worked till they got the plant operating over there. And then there's a fellow, a painter there, and he said, "Boy," he said, "you're going to," I said, "you can get a job painting," said, "you can paint to the paint tanks out there, Richfield," I said, "go out there and get you a job." So I went out there that morning and got just about the microwave right over here, and the smoke roomed up in there, and they had a big fire in there.
Was it a tank that was on fire?
No, the guy had was working on, there was a connecting, they had bought a new tower. They didn't have any towers in there before, so it come up through the lip boxes, and the old lip boxes, you see the oil coming down through there. And
what kind of tower was it? No, not a derrick. It was
no, they had bought this tower, and it was all packed from Loomis Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd make about three cuts of crude oil, gas oil, like fuel oil, gas oil, and gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
So, they were working on this still, going to do something to it. And the guy went around there and opened it up, and there was no way shutting the oil off. It, of course, it's hot. And it shut out, and he ran. So then by the time I got somebody around there, it was a fire.
Oh, burning, huh?
Yeah.
Which refinery was that?
It was over here at this refinery.
What was the name of it?
Richfield.
Oh, Richfield.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Richfield. They had just moved down here from Bakersfield, and they bought this United, I believe it was, mm-hmm. and had a little still in there. And, well, there was a roadway, and they was on the south side of the road, and Richfield bought on the north side. In fact, Mary, they rented this still for a while and run it oil there before that, while they was building the other plant. And this was the first tower that they had bought from Loomis, and all come in. Loomis didn't tell them what it's in it or anything. It's all packed and it was tired. Trays were all in it and everything.
Mm-hmm. Is that the way they break the oil down? And
yeah.
It comes into a tower and...
Yeah, the light oil comes off first. You gas it first.
Oh, okay.
Then the light oil, and the light oil comes on down, whatever one of them want to take off, see. And at that time, while they were making kerosene, stove oil, and fuel oil, and gasoline, that's the only cuts they take off.
How did the oil get from the oil field to the...
They had a pipeline. They got a pipeline in there from Signal Hill in there.
Mm-hmm. That must have been when the oil boom hit in Signal Hill. It must be the first thing they did was try to get those pipelines in. So anyhow, you come up upon this burning tower, and what happened?
Well, the guy's name, I'll never forget his name. His name was Moore. He came out and told us, he said, "You guys said you want no jobs. There's going to be plenty of it in there pretty soon." He said, "As soon as you get the fire out." So they got the fire out. And then, I guess it was a couple of hours. We stood around there. Four of us stayed. And there was about four or five of us there that morning. And four of us stayed. And we went to work Yeah, come up a little rain, and I went home about 4:00. My wife didn't know where I was or anything.
Mm-hmm.
they didn't know I went out to a job in Brazil.
Uh huh. What? So then, did you just quit PG&E? Just never showed back up at the PG&E, or were you working?
No, I had quit.
They
had laid me off over there because I got. Where they didn't, they got the thing going and didn't need anyone.
What Did you make more money
than oh,
when,
yes.
when you went to the oil? When,
yeah, got, they 7 days a week. And making 50 cents an hour, I guess. Mm-hmm. Big money, then.
Big money, huh? What were you hired in as a... What was a job?
Just labor.
Labor, labor gang. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how long did you stay on the labor gang?
Well, about a year. Well, I went to work with a shop foreman. Put the walks around the towers and everything like that. And I worked with them about a year, and then they built the cross units. That's the cracking plants. They used a big cylinders, and you long, and they come in inside, and they pump that oil, and then the coke would stay in the cylinder. Cokers, they called them. So they built two units in there, and then I went to work there, and then I stayed right on. I got a job and stayed right on in coke, and that's how come to be an oil man.
Yeah. Now, coker, you know, the coker unit, you said. Now what is the coke? I don't understand.
They run their oil, heavy oil, gasoline and fuel oil. They run that down, run it through there, and it comes out coke. And when this cylinder gets full, it's a big cylinder. When it gets full, well, then they shut down and run water in there and cool it off. And then the guy go in there, pick and shovel and clean it out. And then it'll be ready to go again.
Was that highly flammable when the guy had to go in and clean it out? Did it,
no, it wasn't. It had come down there.
Was there any danger as far as you that you can remember as far as working at the refinery, with the work that you were doing?
No, we didn't have anyone hurt.
So you started working 7 days a week. How many hours a day?
Eight
hour day.
I work, we work shift work, and when we change from graveyard, that's the 12 to 8 shift, to the 4 to 12 shift, well, we'd get 48 hours, I guess it was, off.
Oh.
So, as always, I've been time off.
Yeah, you planned to have some fun during that period of time. So shift work, how often did you, in other words, you work day shift, swing shift, and graveyard?
A week at a time.
Oh, a week at a time, I see. And did the guys like that?
Oh, yeah. They paid more money.
Why? Because you got a differential for working in
yeah,
graveyard?
Yeah, I got a differential. Paid more for graveyard. And
like, what? How much more? A nickel an hour or something?
Well, I think, I don't remember, about 50 cents a day, you'd say, more.
Oh, uh-huh. So you, worked in the, how long did you work doing the, what would be classified as a laborer? Or what was your next job in the refinery?
Well, I went in a machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
We put the braces and the walkways and everything around the towers. This tower brought in the machine shop. Drill holes and then I worked in the shop there just doing regular shop work until they started this new plant and they put in the coke in it. And I started in there.
So during these 4 days...
Cross-cracking units is what they were.
Cross-cracking units. During these 48 hours that you would get off at a time, your vacations, so to speak, what did you do for... what did you do for fun?
Well,
sleep in for a day?
Well, of course, I had two kids that were going to school. And summer months where I didn't have to take a vacation, and the summer months to get the kids to go.
What was there? Was there beaches in Long Beach? Obviously, there were some beaches. Did people go down there?
Oh yeah. There were the beaches. That was a big thing. People would come in here from all everywhere. Go down the beach.
Long Beach must have, with all these people coming in. Now, people were like your parents were living in a tent, tents, and so there must have been a lot of housing being built at the time also. And Long Beach was changing, and all this money coming.
Oil was booming. Signal Hill, they had all Signal Hill. So, and gosh, they had town lots in there just drilling like mad. Yeah. I don't have any pictures of the town lots there. They're tearing all those old wells out now and building houses in there. But the guys, those lots, everybody had a lot. Leased it, see. And guys, they just stuck them in there just as close as they stick them.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of them. It looked like a forest up there.
Yeah.
So, and who they lease them to? Did they lease them to the major companies, or why?
Oh, yeah, and independents, and a lot of independents in there then.
Mm-hmm. Wildcatters, is that independents, or sometimes called wildcatters?
Wildcatters, they go out where there's no oil and find oil.
Oh, I see.
They're sure booming there for a while.
And did you, now you were married and had two kids?
Yeah.
How old were the kids when you came out here?
One of them was about 2 years old, and the other one was about 4 or 5.
What were their names?
Lillian was the girl's name. She was the oldest, and Keith was the boy.
Mm-hmm. And did you, where were you living at that time?
Down on the, there was a guy that had some cabins down there. They made it, and I was renting one of those down on the west side.
Mm-hmm. What were those cabins like?
They were pretty nice. They were pretty nice. Just, and then later moved into a dwelling house it was on the west side, but it was closer, a little far away. Went on the beach, huh?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It cost you a fortune today, huh?
Yeah, it cost you. The five more, they're all gone now. That's all I'm talking about.
Were you making, during the 20s, were you making enough money to buy your own house?
Yeah.
Did you buy a house?
Yeah, I bought this one.
Oh, when did you buy this house?
I don't know. Been so long enough. I rented it for a while, about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two old maids that owned the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They had lent people money, and then they'd take the property, see, because they couldn't get it to pay the money. So they had to rented this place, and they rented it to me, and then I bought it from them. I went to the bank and borrowed the money.
So you produced, well, the refiners at that time were producing the major products, gas. What were the major products? They were not only gas and oil.
It started in heavy oil, see, fuel oil, and then gas oil, and kerosene. They'd make kerosene or gas oil. You put it in the kerosene and the gas oil, and gasoline.
And then from the refineries, what was it piped out to? What ship?
We loaded a lot of it on tank cars. See, they had their loading rack in there, and they loaded all the fuel oil out. Union Pacific could take their fuel mostly.
in the middle of the 1920s, say 1925-26, the major oil companies moved out of Signal Hill, and did that have an effect on the amount of oil that was coming into the refineries?
Oh yeah. Signal Hill didn't make enough oil to keep them going, and they'd boat it in like this real. They had tankers run here in New York and back and all that. And
were they bringing crude here?
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Then Richfield had this discovery up in Coles Levee, and then they ran that. Well, they had the pipeline. Pan American had the pipeline. Richfield took Pan American over, so they got the pipeline. And they would bring all their crude down there, the pipeline, and run the pipeline right into the refinery.
The pipeline from what, the harbor?
No, from Coles Levee and Bakersfield and Taft and those.
Right,
the company had different leases on the land in different places.
So there wasn't a real slowdown or layoff in the refineries at the 20s?
No. Well, they did slow down. I worked 36 hours a week for a while. And some of the folks got laid off, but they got back on, pretty sure.
Well, was that toward the end of the 1920s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they share the work here. What did everyone, everyone agreed as to take less hours? And
yeah, well, they kind of went by seniority. They took it by seniority. And if they had a good man, well, they kept him and got rid of somebody that they didn't want.
Oh, uh-huh. Was there any union? Was the union trying to organize at that time?
Union.
And were they successful in the refinery?
No, not too much. Mm-hmm. Back to where they got the union run off with a lot of the money.
Oh, the head of the oil worker union?
Yeah.
Who, do you remember who that was?
I forget his name.
Did you know any people in the refinery that were giving out pamphlets or anything? Or?
No, they weren't.
I suppose their jobs, they wouldn't have their jobs long if they were doing that sort of thing.
The chief engineer was David E. Day, and A.M. Kelly was, I guess he was president of the company. And they had been in the oil field up Bakersfield, see, and they come down and took his job. O.C. Cook was a foreman over there, Richfield. Well, he was running over the cracking, and Panero was he had come from Taft down, so he was the refinery superintendent. And when they shut the Hines down, well, he moved to Watson.
So, how about the at the end of the 20s, the beginning of the 30s, there's the Depression. The Depression hits, but you have a secure job.
Yeah, I worked thirty hours a week sometimes.
What was the effect on wages?
I don't remember now just what we was making then.
They'd
gone up quite a bit, the wages.
Well, how many days a week were you working?
Well, I would work 30 hours a week.
So, was that spread out over 7 days or over five or over seven?
Five days.
Mm-hmm. And so that the reduction in the number of hours that you were working must have hurt your paycheck
Well, it did some, but then the bread was 10 cents a loaf and like that, and it didn't take the money. It only went a lot farther than it goes today.
Were you living here in 1930?
No, I lived in downtown since then. I moved out here.
What about people, neighbors, or people in Long Beach? Was the unemployment high over here?
Not too much, because the oil fields kept pretty busy.
Mm-hmm.
They kept a drilling and all that. Drillers, they made good money.
Mm-hmm. Even during the Depression?
Long in Depression.
The earthquake, I was going to ask you, where were you?
Funny thing, we had some friends that lived down in Heber. That's down close to El Centro.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd pick the kids up at school, and us, my family, and another woman and her daughter went with us to see this. Friends of hers, neighbor, relatives of hers, and they were friends of ours. And we didn't know, then the communications were very poor, and we didn't know anything about it much till the next day. But some guy that ran had a wireless deal.
Telegraph.
Yeah, and he got in touch with the operator down there at Heber and told him for us to come home. Well, my wife's sister had got killed in the Idea Laundry.
Is that where she worked?
Yeah, she worked in there. She was the last one out, and just as she come out the door for the whole brick fall here.
What then? Did you head right back up to Long Beach at that time?
Or? Yeah, we headed up there. Of course, we didn't know what was coming into. Come in, and this chimney would be down, and this getting worse and worse and worse. And they had us around, and we couldn't come out the Atlantic, I believe it was. Atlantic was pretty well shook up.
Mm-hmm.
And we was living here then.
So this house held up pretty good?
Yeah.
Must be a pretty sturdy house.
Yeah.
Still here.
It's just a lot of shakes.
And through a few more earthquakes. What about the kids' school? How did that make out? What school did they go to?
They were going to, what do you know, name that school? We was living then on 1488 Walnut, and they was going to school right down below there. What the damn thing out of the school?
Oh,
yeah,
that's
anyway,
not real important.
Just a little ways. They just had about 3 blocks ago.
So how'd their school hold up?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, Polly High was shook up and tore up bad. Then Hamlin, they did a poor job on the bricklayer and that. So it came down. Grant was out here, and it was pretty well shook up.
Did you have any friends, acquaintances that lost their property or lost their houses at that time?
No, most of them were living out of Long Beach. No, like I was, they were living out.
I wonder if people's homes fell down out there, if they were insured or if they just lost the head.
They just lost it. It wouldn't have covered much earthquake. The insurance wasn't enforced much till after that earthquake.
What about, no, the refinery that, like Richfield, you're talking about the road, what road was that the refineries were on?
Cherry.
On Cherry. Yeah.
Cherry was the main.
How did the refineries hold up?
Very good.
Did you lose any work or?
No, they had us all come out and work days, and swing shift, and we work in. We had to inspect all the towers and all the equipment and all like that, but there's very little damage.
Uh-huh. Didn't some of the pipelines break?
No, it wasn't.